So today we have a Montera Merlot from Monterey, lots of M's. It's a 2016. And before I say too much more about it, I think we should give it a sip. And I just lied. It's not a 2016. It's a 2018. I'm blind and can't read.
So what are you expecting from this Merlot?
Well, I've kind of like read the back a little bit, but I'm expecting it to be relatively smooth, medium body, medium tannin.
Right. I'm expecting bold. Because I feel like Monterey has a lot of, like, beach, where it's, like, right on the water kind of thing. So you're getting,
Well, you have, like, a lot of valley near Monterey, too. Like, Carmel is, like, in a valley, which is, like, in Monterey County, technically.
But you're getting, like, the ocean breeze.
You get, like, the coastal breeze.
The coastal breeze, yeah.
I have only had one sip so far, but I really enjoy this wine. I did chill it in the fridge for, like, 24 hours.
Yeah.
Because I thought we were going to record last night, and then I put it in there, and then I didn't take it out of the fridge. So it's a little bit more chilled than it probably should be.
I've read some mixed opinions about chilled wine. Some people say it's better to have a chilled red wine that's left in there a little long, because you can warm it up with your hands.
Oh, I mean, that makes sense.
But then some opinions are that, and there is some fact to this, that the grape and minerals separate because of the cold.
See, I don't think this is separated because of the cold, but I know that's why, like, wine cellars, you want to make sure it's in a very controlled environment.
Right.
Because you don't want it getting hot and then cold and then hot and then cold,
right.
Because then wine does not like switching temperatures.
I honestly think the best thing to do is, if you don't have a wine cellar, is to throw it into your fridge for, like, a couple hours before you drink it.
Yeah. Or if you keep it, like, some people like to keep it in a pantry that's kind of, like, darker and secluded.
Which this does not seem to be separated
No,
at all.
No. This is really good.
It does have very nice legs on it, which, from what I hear, directly correlates to the amount of
tannin?
Sugar in the wine.
Sure.
Yeah. Or alcohol level as well.
Okay. Do you want to hear the tasty notes now that you tasted it?
Yeah,
or actually, should I let you guess what flavors they mention?
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, sure. I think black cherry.
This is black fruits. So,
yeah, I was also going to say plum, but
plum is on there.
Yeah, and I would say it has, like, a unique minerality to it.
So this says aromas of violet, plum, and cocoa, followed by flavors of black fruits, cassis, and toasted oak.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And then it says that it would pair well with ripe cheeses, grilled steak, and hearty pastas, which I agree with all three of those. So.
You know what I read today?
Hmm.
I read that the older the red wine, the lighter the color of the wine. So, like, the longer it ages, the lighter the wine will be.
I think,
unless it's a white wine, and then the older a white wine ages,
it gets darker.
The darker it gets.
Yeah, that's why when you open, like, a Chardonnay that's more than, like, 2 or 3 years old, it's, like, really dark.
Yeah.
So,
I think this is smooth. I think it actually has light tannin, and it definitely has a bold finish.
I would get this again. This would be really good if you eat steak and you made, like, a grilled steak salad. Like, a salad with, like, steak on top. This would be great.
Actually, the tannins are probably medium now that
I was taking my
third sip. Yeah.
I was like, I feel like, well, before even tasting it, I was like, I expected medium tannin, a medium body. It's more like a medium to full body, but
yeah, it's actually pretty darn good wine.
We got this one from Trader Joe's. I think it was $7-$8, so nothing crazy.
Yeah,
I recommend it.
It's pretty good.
Good date night wine.
Yeah. So if you don't know, you're listening to Wine 30
with Andrew and Lindsay, who obviously cannot do proper accents. where we drink wine and we talk about hot topics, because, you know.
Yeah, and we're in kind of a depressing state here in America at this point in time.
I know, which I want to wait a little bit to talk about, you know, the insurrection, the inauguration, the impeachment, because...
Yeah, we won't spend that long on
let's
it.
Let's start we'll on a happier note with what we've been watching, what we've been listening to, etc.
Sure.
So, what we've been watching. Andrew went to his friend's house this weekend, and I realized I have no clue what happened to my time.
Your time?
So, I was sitting around, because he came back and he's like, oh, what did you do this weekend? Mm-hmm. And I was like, what did I do? Because I didn't watch a lot of TV.
Right.
I didn't read a lot. I wasn't on my phone that much, and I was like, what was I doing?
Yeah.
And I could not figure out where my time went. But the things I did watch while you were away is I rewatched Holiday.
Okay.
Which, you know, it's past Christmas, but I don't know. I just wanted to rewatch something I'd already seen. I did finish, I had like the last episode of The Morning Show left to watch, so I finished that. And then I watched a couple episodes of Survivor Heroes versus Villains, which is like 10 years old, but
yeah,
I'm going back and watching that. So that's basically what I watched while he was gone, which was not that much for 4 days or 3 days or whatever. But then we did start watching Close Enough, which is made by the creator of The Regular Show. We watched Save Yourselves, which is a new movie on Hulu, which was like a alien invasion thing. But like the aliens are like these fluff balls.
Yeah, it was very independent.
Yeah.
And I do like, I think they did a good job like incorporating the computer animation.
Mm-hmm.
Because like it looked like a animal of some sort, you know, like. The way,
like, where they kept saying, oh, did he move the poof in the living room?
Right. It was like a good amount of detail.
Yeah. I actually don't know if it was a computer animation. I think they actually just made a fluffy ball and then they probably had it on wires or strings or something to move
right.
it around. I think because
it seems
I
like...
think the only thing that may have been like the computer animation would be like the tongue.
Right.
But
it's worth a look if you're into like sci-fi independent, like.
The acting was good.
Abstract ideas. The acting was actually really good.
They made the main characters very relatable.
And there's a lot of, like, interesting philosophical confrontations that they go through.
Yeah.
For instance, this won't give anything about the movie away, but they end up, like, driving, and then this poof kills these people in this car, and so they drive by, the poof goes off in the forest, and then they hear like a baby crying, and they go through like this thing where they're like,
do we keep going,
do we leave
or
the baby,
do we go
like
and,
what's
like,
the right thing to do,
because if we get out of the car we could get killed,
right,
we can't just leave, like how are we gonna survive knowing we left a baby
right
alone to die in a car. So there was like that conflict, which was kind of
correct cool. And then it's like they do the right thing. And then it's like they're kind of like punished for that in a way.
Yeah. So I wouldn't even say if you like, I don't like alien movies, but this I found enjoyable.
Well, I didn't even know it was an alien movie when I started it.
Yeah, I had a feeling based on the description that it could be. But then based on the acting in the whole beginning, I was like, this doesn't seem like an alien movie.
Yeah.
So, and it wasn't like creepy aliens at all. So if you're creeped out by aliens, you're not going to be creeped out by this.
I actually kept thinking that the aliens would be like friendly. I don't know. It was just a weird thing. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah. So we also started watching The Witches, which I fell asleep partway through.
I also fell asleep.
But it was the remake. So like I'd seen the old one. I'd read the book. I loved the book growing up. And then this new one, it started off pretty good. I don't know.
I think it did too.
How it ended, but we watched, or at least I watched the first probably 30 minutes and then fell asleep.
Me too.
But because I've had really bad allergies and have been sneezing a ton, and I had taken some Benadryl and then watched The Witches. So maybe that's why it seemed better.
Could be.
Because I heard bad things about it, but I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't good enough to keep me up, but,
I mean, you had also had some Benadryl, so.
Yeah. Apparently our allergies are going really crazy lately.
Yeah, so we also have been watching the new season of The Bachelor, which I don't think we're going to be podcasting about the American season.
Well, we might recap. We might do a recap.
Or we
might
do like
four episodes.
Every like three or four episodes, do a recap on it versus like an episode airs and then we have a new episode out immediately and then so on and so forth.
Right.
But
like we were kind of thinking, like it's, I don't want to give my opinion yet. If you want to hear my opinion about it, then tune into our batch
report. Yeah, so there's that. We also have been watching, or I've been watching Central Park on Apple TV, which is by the people, the creators of like Bob's Burgers, I think. Different voices, but I think they had a hand in it. Same art. And then the same art is also in that new show, The Great North, which we started watching, which I was really excited about. And the first episode came out on the 3rd, and I was like, ooh, when's the second episode coming out? It seems like it should be out by now. And it doesn't come out until Valentine's Day. So another month and a week.
Total bust.
And we started watching Batman the Animated Series from the 90s last night.
Oh, man. If you want like a nostalgic...
like throwback.
Throwback. That's the one.
And if you're like... if you have kids and you're like, I cannot stand like watching another episode of Blippi or whatever his name is. Batman is pretty... it's pretty decent.
My brain was like, okay. You know, like those, sometimes you see the old people getting the reels. Mm-hmm. And they're gonna like put it, my brain's like, okay. And it's like dusting off the cassette player. And like dusting off the
cassette.
It's
like I remember the art more than I remember any of the characters or storylines.
I just remember the intro very well. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. So.
And like, whenever they have like Catwoman like scaling a building, I'm like, I've seen this. But I have no clue what the plot points are.
Yeah.
I just know I've seen it. So that's been a little fun throwback. Is there anything you've been watching?
I have been watching a lot of news. Actually, I've been reading a lot of news.
We did watch the impeachment.
Yes, for like 2 hours. And then, which was really hard to watch. We've been watching news. What else have we been watching?
You've been watching some, Transformers.
Oh, yeah. They released a bunch of new Transformer like cartoons on Netflix, so I've been kind of like watching those. And I never was like a huge Transformers fan as a kid, but I find that I enjoy the cartoon much more as an adult.
And you kind of can just like zone out to it to an extent.
Yeah.
Which is kind of nice.
And it's like you still pick up on the innuendos and see the relationship between the people in the conflict as well.
Do you have any new animes you've been watching?
I have been watching anime. Attack on Titans. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the thing with Attack on Titans is I was turned off by it like a few years ago when I started watching it. And then I just picked it up like recently and I'm like, you know what? The art is actually exceptional. The writing is exceptional. It's mm-hmm. just very, like, adult-orientated.
Yeah.
Like, it's very gruesome. It's, like, gory. And it's definitely not for everyone.
Not my vibe.
Yeah, and it definitely turned me off. But then the later episodes have been less gory.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're more about, like, just, like, the psychological warfare and whatnot that people go through.
Which I'm really excited for WandaVision, which comes out in like 2 days on Disney Plus. Which Andrew read the Vision comics and all that, and I haven't. But from the preview I saw, I was like, this is a show we could probably watch together.
Yeah, so is exciting. That the one about...
Vision and...
Right.
Whatever Wanda, whatever her name is. She was also in the Avengers movies.
Right.
She's played by the Olsen twins' sister. So it's like them living their life. But I hear it has like a kind of... weird, like, old-time TV sitcom-y type vibe.
It's, like,
vibe.
Eerie, yeah, because they're not human, technically. They're AI, right?
I don't know exactly, because I haven't read it.
The Vision comic books were actually really good, if you're talking about the ones I'm thinking about.
I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were basically, like, what would happen if Vision had murdered somebody and the Avengers were coming after him? Like... Mm-hmm. But the thing is like, they wouldn't necessarily have proof that he murdered. Because it goes against his AI. Like, it goes against his values, or mm-hmm. if that,
or like his coding, or
right,
whatever.
Because like if he's AI and he codes in his values for himself to self-govern, and one of his values is do not kill, and then like he gets in a situation where he's killed somebody innocent or even not innocent, whatever, or his wife kills somebody, mm-hmm. I think is what happens, and then he now covers up for his wife, right?
Yeah.
So he's doing like an unethical thing kind of to protect his family. But he's also not human, so it's going to be really interesting.
And they're doing it as like a mini series.
I'm on actually Disney really Plus, curious.
So I'm excited to check it out.
Yeah.
So what I've been listening to, basically the same kind of stuff: Little Mix, Fletcher, Julia Michaels, Taylor Swift, Jessie J. Nothing too different. I don't know if you've been listening to anything.
I've been listening to a little bit of the old Zelda
soundtrack.
Soundtrack, yeah. Pretty good. I enjoy it. It's like kind of peaceful. Yeah, and that's about it for as far as new things.
Yeah. So then playing basically Animal Crossing. I played a little bit while Andrew was gone. Honestly, I only played for like half an hour or an hour. So that's why I'm like, where did my time go? So I played that. I've been playing some Town of Salem again because our internet is back and it's faster.
Yeah.
It's exciting. And then when we were at his mom's house this past week, we played Unsolved Case Files, which was
a mystery game
where it has like all these files and all these like documents and you have to figure out who murdered the person and everything else. So we haven't finished it yet because they have like three different objectives, but we did the first objective and we're probably going to do the next two this weekend. So
yeah,
that was really fun and really exciting.
Back when I was in high school, I used to play this game called Magic: The Gathering.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't really, they have like an online version of it, but I don't really like it that much. I mean, I get why people like it. I feel like you played it a lot for a while, but I did play it for a little bit, but then I just felt like it was very like too much calculation. Like it was like the algorithm would dictate. It wasn't random enough for me, I guess. Yeah. Like
they could dictate what you drew next.
Right. Like, so if they're like, oh, like to make the game more fair, as soon as they say that, it's kind of like, well, now you've kind of altered the code a little bit to favor certain behaviors.
It was good for at the time because the friend that you went and played with this weekend hadn't really played Magic, right? So it was a way for him to
right.
learn and for you guys
so
to like practice.
It actually does open it up to a lot of new players. But I guess I just am like old school,
mm-hmm.
and so I like the feel of the cards, and I like...
I mean, I feel like most games that are either board games or card games are better in the physical form than on the digital
form. I feel
form.
That way, too.
So...
And, it gives you a little more freedom, and, like, it's definitely more psychological,
because
mm-hmm. it's kind of like poker in a lot of ways, where you don't know necessarily what your opponent's going to do or have, and they can kind of, like, bluff... Because you can see their face,
yeah.
right? But if you're just doing it over like a...
So like if they know they have something good in their hand, you're going to see them smirk. And you're
right.
going to like see that versus...
Or you may egg them on a little bit and go, what are you going to do? You know what I mean? Like, so it's kind of fun. Honestly, it could be any game. It doesn't have to be this game. But it's fun because like I know it and it's something that like we can kind of grow together in.
The only time I've ever played Magic was with Andrew when we had, like, I think we just recently met. And I sat down and, like, played a game and I almost beat him.
Right.
I was, like, one turn away from beating him. And then he didn't let me win. But that was, like, a fluke thing. Like, I just happened to, like, have a really good, like, deck of hands. I think you had made the deck. So it was probably, like, a super deck or something.
I don't even remember
but...
all that much. But, so I've been playing that. Is there anything else you've been playing or... I think I'm good
just the
on that.
Same
yeah
same stuff so reading I did an interview with E! Online in Sri Lanka, so you know I read my interview
cool.
when it came out, you know, that's exciting.
Nice.
And then
we should post that.
What do you mean post it?
Oh,
it's on the internet. People
it's on
can
the internet. It's already
it.
Posted, check it out.
And I've also been reading This Time Next Year by Sophie Cousins still. And that was, like, one of my Book of the Month Club books. And I also have been reading Safely Endangered Comics by Chris McCoy because I've been really into this thing where I like to read books that are, like, one-page comic strip type things.
Yeah.
Where you just, like, have a bunch of separate little stories within a story.
That's nice.
So I've been really into those. And then I have, like, how many? 6 or 7 Book of the Month Club books that have come in the past 2 months that I need to catch up on. So
yeah,
that's going to be
you got some reading.
A crazy time.
So I've been reading Once in Future, Volume 1 and 2, which is basically, like, you know, exactly what it sounds like. And then I've also started reading, I don't know how to say this, Rai, I think, R-A-I, Ra, maybe, or
Ray.
Ray. And I just read the first book of that, which is a animated series. And it's basically about a, like, highly advanced AI that was created in Japan that is trying to become human.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So it's like its whole purpose is to, like, become human, right? So I don't know. I'm just following along. It's a little bit gruesome, but it's also kind of interesting.
We just discovered that we have a brand new comic book store in town. So I'm really excited to figure out, like, kind of what they have. Right now, it's only, like, appointment only. Which I feel bad being like, oh, let's make an appointment to go shop and then only buying, like, $10 worth of stuff.
Well, I think it's, like, the principle.
So I think what I'm going to do is see if they have, like, a thing online that says their new releases or what's coming up soon and, like, pre-ordering and just picking stuff up.
Yeah.
Because I do really enjoy comic book stores.
I do too. And there's a few comics I want to pick up, but I'll talk about those next episode.
I know. So to do with comic books, I would never read comic books when I was younger because I felt like it wasn't real books and it wasn't real reading and only, like, right. Dumb kids read comic books.
I never read comic books when I was younger either, except for, like, a few, like, that just happened to fall within my realm.
Like, I remember my little sister used to read Calvin and Hobbes, and sometimes at the store, my parents or grandparents would be like, that's not a real book. You have to choose a real book. Like, Calvin and Hobbes does not count. So, like, I feel like I grew up being like, oh, comic books are bad. And then, like, once I started working at the library, I was like, man, there's some cool comic books.
Right. Because they're kind of like, it's...
Especially when you get to an older age, I guess.
And the thing is pictures are research too.
Yeah.
And I think, like, I grew up basically with a single parent. So I feel like my mom didn't really acknowledge that very well.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, as I got into, like, my later years of high school and then a lot in college, I would rely a lot upon pictures. Just, like, you know, pictures of World War II or, like, pictures of the Auschwitz camps or, like, pictures of the Sino Wars, right? To kind of, like, give me an encompassing idea of what was going on at that time. And it kind of, like, it really is, like, pictures can say 1,000 words.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. Because it's, like, I feel like a lot of times I would read books growing up and I would have my own vision for what things looked like. And then they'd come out with a movie and I'd be like, that is not even close.
Right.
Like, when they're talking about...
And that's, like, the bad side of it, though, right?
No, but it's also good because if it's, like, historical, like Anne Frank's diary or something, like, you're reading it and you're imagining what it's
oh,
like.
Oh, I see
And then
what
you
you're
see,
saying.
Like,
yeah.
An actual thing and they're like, this is the actual place she was. This is the, like,
right.
These are the things. And you're like, that's not how I imagined it
that's
at all.
That's great.
But,
I love
like,
that.
I think that's kind of interesting because if they included photos in a lot of books,
that's
you
like
would
a
have like
unique experience.
A base.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'm more like on the opposite spectrum where I'm like, you know, you read The Hobbit or you read like Lord of the Rings or for me, it was Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm.
I read that and I was like an enthusiast. And then the first movie came out. God, I feel so old saying that. The first movie came out.
I remember when the first book and the first movie. I remember when they cast Daniel Radcliffe and it was on the news. He, like, the kid was in the bathtub or something when
right.
He got the call and they had it, like, live on the news. Like, they just announced this kid is Harry Potter.
I remember him getting the role and I was like, that's awful. Like, that's not what I was imagining at all.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it seemed kind of forced, but I accept it more as an adult because I'm like, oh, okay, well, like, of course. Like, he fits the vague description that she has in the book. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, but as a kid, I was like, not relatable. Like, that's mm-hmm. not what I originally had imagined. And I thought that the only person that fit the role that I basically had imagined was Snape.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, and Hagrid was pretty close, but even him, I felt like wasn't quite on.
I had this weird thing with Harry Potter where I read, like, the first one or two chapters of every book, but I never made it to Hogwarts in any book. So, basically, my list of characters that I imagined were very small.
Right.
But the one person who I feel like I actually had, like, relatively spot on in my head was Dudley.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when they showed him in the movie, I was like, that's about what I imagined in my head.
Dudley, yeah.
Like.
For sure. I read the fourth book in, like, a day.
Yeah.
I mean, it might have been a day and a half, but it was a day, basically. I just nonstop just went through the book. And so I think that's my favorite book.
My older sister, when we were growing up, because you and her were about the same age. And when a new Harry Potter book came out, she would have to go to, like, Target at 6 a.m. when it opened.
Right.
And buy it when it opened. And then she would come home at whatever, 6:30 a.m. and then would sit there in her room all day and would not come out of the room until it was, like, finished.
Yeah.
And it was, like, sometimes it would be one day. Sometimes it'd be, like, a day and a half because, yeah, like, by the end, they were so long.
Yeah, and I think that happens with a lot of movies where you get connected. Like, for instance, I'm not looking forward to Name of the Wind, the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm just like, I have such fond memory and, like, creation of the characters in my mind. And, like, it's a warm feeling. And I feel like when they put it on the screen, it's going to be, like, kind of like a corrosive, like, intrusive feeling I'm gonna be getting. So
I feel like that happens quite often with movies, yeah, but
sometimes I just wish they'd leave it. But
every so often they have a great one though.
Right.
So I guess we have to talk about
Let's talk about real topics.
Oh no. My abs hurt because I've been working out every day.
That's not a real topic.
I know it's not. I just thought about it because my abs hurt. It was ab day today.
Ab day.
So when I looked down at my notes, I'm like, ugh, abs.
Abs.
So I guess we have to talk about the insurrection, the inauguration, the impeachment.
Let's just do it real
those
quick.
Are kind of like the big topics of the week. So
we might go over on time. That's okay.
I mean, it happens. So the insurrection was a week ago today.
Right.
And, like, I feel like everyone saw it coming, but also was like, is it actually going to happen? Probably not. Could it happen? Definitely.
I honestly did not see it happening. Like, I had no contemplation of that.
I didn't see it happening in the way that it happened. I was thinking that, like, the Trump supporters may, like, protest in the streets with signs and
I didn't
like,
even
flags.
Hear about any protesters. Like there were no
it went from
indications.
Like it went from like 0 to 100.
Right. When I saw it on we didn't even see it on TV until like we turned on the TV and people were climbing the walls.
And like they were already like basically in the building.
They were basically in the building. So I didn't see it's just so strange to me that there wouldn't be any like footage of them just peacefully protesting. Like it just went straight from like 0 to 100.
That was like actually something that I feel like will be very memorable looking back on time. Like if we ever have kids and they're like reading history books and they're like, oh, Donald Trump when he was president. And you can be like, I saw that on the news while it was happening. Like
right.
That's one of those things kind of like 9/11 where it's like memorable.
Yeah.
As to what you were doing and what you were seeing.
Sure.
And
I mean, it was my sister's birthday, so.
Well, or the morning after.
I mean.
But, yeah. So we were over there, and, like, his mom got a call, and she's like, what? What's going on? And she's like, we have to turn on the news right now. And I was like, I feel like this is a little bit dramatic. And then we turned on the news, and I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
That's actually, like, really scary. And the fact that they were, like, being so forceful and violent towards, like, the military and the police officers.
I mean, they weren't really being forceful toward the military, but also
well, the
I feel
military
like
didn't come in.
The military
for a while
weren't
later.
Even called in, and neither were any federal agents, and neither were any police officers. Like, were just like the guards that were on campus, and that was it.
And a lot of the guards were taking selfies with them and letting them in. And then any of the ones that resisted, they were violent towards.
Yeah,
so exactly. It was like this weird, I don't know. Like, it's so crazy to me.
I honestly don't understand it completely, I suppose.
And I was like, the fact that people broke in with the intent to kill legislators?
Is that what that was? I don't know if that's true.
A lot of the people have said that was the intent of them breaking in is because legislators needed to pay.
See, and I think that's a far left
spin. But they set up a noose outside for Mike Pence.
Which is not funny, but it is kind of funny because it's like he's the VP that Trump chose.
Like, they said, we need to hang all the traitors.
Right.
So that seems like any of the people that like denounced Donald Trump, they thought needed to be hung, like in the square in front of the.
Do you think they were actually thinking that, or was it just a sign?
What do you mean, just a sign?
Like, did they do that to make a point?
I don't know, like, but setting up a noose,
I don't think it was legit. I think it was a fake.
No, it was a real noose.
Okay, well, it was a real noose thing. But it was like, and the structure itself was not something that would actually work.
It would work.
Well, it was just like a piece of plywood, and it would have just snapped under the weight of a human. So
I don't think it was. I think it was actual, like,
you think it was a real noose? Okay, well,
they set up like an actual.
I mean, I'm not trying to defend anybody, so I just think that, like,
I
just so hard for me to get into a mind frame of those people being like, for real about that. You know what I mean?
Well, and then, like, the people are getting arrested coming off of airplanes or going to fly on airplanes and stuff.
Yeah.
And then they're like, I'm on the no-fly list because I'm a domestic terrorist. And they're, like, making jokes about it. And it's like, you are a domestic terrorist.
Yeah.
Like, I probably wouldn't want you on a flight with me. So,
well, like, let's get down to, like, the nitty-gritty. So, here's an issue I have with the whole debacle. Is that, can I use that word, debacle?
Sure.
Okay. I don't know what it means, but
You know, we're drinking wine, so all words pass. Which, my sister the other day was listening to our podcast with my parents, and she's like, AOC is not a senator. And I was like, I know she's not a senator. And she's like, you said she was a senator twice. And I was like, well, I meant legislator, but we have wine, and once you start drinking the wine...
Which, like, your parents weren't drinking wine, but... It doesn't matter. So, and they didn't correct us.
But my mom was also loopy off of anesthesia from her surgery.
Yeah, that was a fun episode. So, the bottom line, as...
Steve Austin.
I don't think that he says that, but...
He's always like, and that's the bottom line.
So, the idea that you would be pro-life... And then go in with such aggression and, like, physical violence against, like...
They killed a police officer.
People.
And several protesters. Or not even protesters, but...
Journalists. They attacked journalists. Is just, like, such a conundrum to me. It's like, so, you know, we're, like, don't want to kill babies. But it's okay if we kill adults. Like, to me, it's like...
No, but it's not even that. They're like, we are not okay. A lot of those people are anti-birth control, for one. And then they're like anti-morning after pill. And then they're like, oh, you can't get an abortion the first, like, 3 months of your pregnancy.
Well, I don't want to get into that idea because it's like, okay, whatever.
But, like, you're literally saying that you cannot abort cells. But it's okay to put a gun to somebody's head in the Capitol.
Right.
Like... It's weird.
And then another thing that
bugs me... And they're fine with not wearing masks and giving people COVID, which also kills a ton of people. So.
Right, which brings me to the conclusion that they're not really indicative of any either-or, like, mm-hmm. side. Like, they're more like just basic criminals.
Yeah.
Because it's like... It's... You're not really advocating for an either values on either side. It's the same thing with the people smashing windows at the Black Lives Matter things. Like, at that point, then you smash a window, you're not a criminal.
You're not pro Black Lives Matter. You are just a criminal who's taking advantage of a situation.
Right, exactly. So, like, as soon as you smash that window, and even the people going in after the window is smashed and then stealing things, Like, you're a criminal. Like, you're not part of the Black Lives Movement. You are part of the problem, right?
Yeah.
Like, you're an instigator. Like, you're causing issues. Whereas, like, there's a ton of peaceful Black Lives Matter movement people.
And I'm sure...
that are really peaceful, and they're just there to, like, say, hey, it's not okay that you can just kill people in the street and get away with it, right?
And I'm sure there are some Trump supporters or Republicans that have been peacefully protesting places mm-hmm. that we haven't seen, which is great.
Well, and I feel I've like seen that's... people protesting they're peaceful from both sides.
Yeah.
And that's great. You're exercising that thing. And I'm really happy. Either way, I'm going to support either American doing that, right?
Like, if you... I am pro...
Bring your guns, too. I don't care. Like, as long as you're not committing violence.
I am pro basically any peaceful protest people want to do. If right. you want to stand on a corner of a street with a sign and peacefully protest, that is fantastic.
Perfect. In fact, I would love to do that. Like, I would love to have the means to do that, which someday we will have the means to do that.
Which, I mean, there is a really great place in the town next to us where people protest on a corner on
like, I was just thinking
grassy
that.
Hill.
Yeah.
But because of COVID, it makes it very difficult because... you don't want to be around a bunch of other people protesting something when it like you're in the middle right. of a pandemic.
So. And then that was the funniest thing about this whole thing is that they like ushered all the senators into a small room mm-hmm. for their protection. And then like several Democrats.
Oh yeah.
Got COVID. Because Republicans are so not...
They weren't wearing masks.
Like, they don't care about it. So, it's just kind of like another slap in the face a little bit.
Yeah.
Just to, like, the whole thing. I'm not, like, dogging on either side. I'm just saying, like...
why would you not have your mask on in a tiny room with a bunch of people?
Why would you have COVID in the first place?
And be like,
why would you even get that? Like, that's like a thing you're supposed to be avoiding, and like, you just got it,
which I mean,
and then spread it to somebody that doesn't want it, you
which
know?
Like, I get it because they do work with around so many other people, and if they're not getting tested,
well, we did see
enough,
a video of like a Republican party where they were doing the train,
the conga line,
not the train, they were doing a conga line, and you're just like with no masks, and you're just like, there's like 50 people doing a conga line.
And they're all touching each other
and
laughing.
And they're all touching and laughing
and, like,
and having a good time.
Whatever.
And then like a week after that, they're just giving COVID to everybody. It's like, what the heck are you doing?
Yeah.
You know?
So we went from that to today we watched the House of Representatives do the impeachment.
Yeah.
Which when we turn it on and they're like, oh, the Democrats have 32 minutes left and the Republicans have 32 minutes or 33 minutes left, whatever. I was like, okay, so like in an hour, this will be said and done. And then it was like two and a half hours later, we were still watching it.
Yeah.
And then I got frustrated with the vote because they're like counting down time. They're like, they have 12 minutes left to vote.
Apparently the time is nothing.
They have 3 minutes left to vote. Yeah. And like it gets to 0 minutes and there's still like 140 people that haven't voted. And you're like, what are you doing? This is your job. Just put in your vote.
Like, I wonder if the time was the rest of the yielded time. Like, they're like, that's all we have. Like, that's all we're saying, right?
No, they were out of that time.
So what was
but
the time
But I don't
for?
Know if there's, like, 12 minutes where they can, like, ask questions. Because the thing is, people kept going up to the, and like, to the mic and asking questions or saying
right.
something. But on, like, ABC News that we were watching... like, they just had George Stephanopoulos, like, just talking over everything that was being said,
so
which I hate.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just muted it. But it's, like, it's annoying because I want to know what those people are saying.
Yeah.
And we don't, like, pay for cable or live TV, so ABC News is the only news you can watch live.
Yeah.
On Hulu. So it kind of sucked because I wanted to know what was going on during that time.
Me too.
But obviously, they voted to impeach him again, which makes him the first president in history to be impeached twice.
Which I do. I don't want to say. It's weird because like I don't want to say feel bad, but like I am empathetic, I guess, for the situation that he's in because it's kind of like you've been banned from all social media, like Facebook,
YouTube,
every single platform. Yeah. You've been banned.
OnlyFans
and. The White House is cleared out. Like, people are resigning, you know? People are leaving. People are not around.
But the thing is, all the people who resigned his like education person, his defense person, all of these people all said that he incited that violence. And they put him at fault.
Right.
And it's and that's why they were resigning. They said, we cannot be associated with someone who does that.
Right. And so that's an issue. And I guess I'm just kind of like empathetic in the point where then he comes out and released a video today that basically said that he does not condone the violence and that's not what he's about and he's not supporting it. So it's kind of like...
It's kind of like too little too late, though.
Which is all what a lot of people were saying. Kind of like a lot of legislator people were saying. It's kind of like, well, why didn't you say that like a week ago?
Like before all this happened or while it was happening.
Like, that's not what we're about. We're not about violence. We're not about...
Like, if you want to stand in front of...
behavior. We're
if
not
he
about,
was like, I want you guys to back off. I would, like, if you want to protest in the streets with your signs peacefully, I would love for you to protest, but like this is not okay.
If Donald was like, you know, when they first went to the Capitol, mm-hmm. if he and they started doing that, he's like, what are you doing? Like, if he would have been on social media, like, what are you guys doing?
Like, I'm embarrassed to be associated with you right now.
Right. Like, this is not what I meant by being strong. Right. Like, yeah. Like, then you would be like, hey, okay, like... You're just trying to, like, you know, do your thing. And I'm not trying to, like, I'm just trying to give him the benefit of the doubt. Because, like, it's like, you know, you don't want to feel sorry for somebody that kind of is getting what they deserve.
The thing is, like, for a long time, I was like, maybe he's just so influenced by the people around him that he, like, says and does these things because they, like, tell him certain things that make him believe.
Well, I kind of had a...
A certain way. And then the... longer time goes, the more I'm like, no, he believes these things and he's trying to convince other people of these things.
Yeah. And also another thing is like, okay, so the other day I was like trying to say what kind of person, like put myself in his shoes and be mm-hmm. like, what am I thinking as this person, like needing these people to believe that, right?
Yeah.
Like, I need all these people to verify this information so that I can feel more like a person. Like, to me, it's like, how small of a person do I have to need other people's recognition like that?
Yeah.
Like, how little of a person do I need to be like, I need your validation that this is, I won no matter what, right? Like, it's like, you didn't win though. Like, you lost. And so, like, you need to, like, be a good sport.
So right? I think it was the majority leader for the House that earlier was saying Trump wants your undivided loyalty. Like, he wants you to be loyal to a fault. Like, he wants you to be faithful and loyal to him. But he has no loyalty for anyone back. Like, he would drop you in a heartbeat
right.
if it benefits him.
Or like, if you go against what he says, he'll literally drop you
but
like in a second.
But he needs you.
For sure.
To be 100% loyal and 100% behind him.
Well, I read a article from Yes Magazine. Mm-hmm. And they were basically talking about how he kind of manipulated the situation at hand. Because people were feeling like down when he came into office, right?
Oh yeah, for sure.
And he basically took that low feeling that people were feeling and gave it like something to target at. So he was like, we've got all these immigrants coming in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so he like targeted us versus them type of mentality. Like, we got to keep these illegal immigrants out because they're destroying our government and they're stealing our jobs, right? So he like in a way united some of the people that were feeling really low in a thing, in a project that they could like focus their energy on, right?
I do have to say that under Trump's administration, stocks have been doing remarkably well.
Yeah, which I've heard some mixed like ideas about that. Because mm-hmm. one of the like authorities on that is saying like, well, the president actually has very little to do with the stock market. But they're also saying then another... person said, well, you're kind of like experiencing the bloom of Obama's administration.
Well, that's like that's also the thing is they say that in the stock market and in business, you don't really see any thing that a president does until like 4 to 5 years later.
Right.
So basically what we're seeing right now is Obama. So like when Bill Clinton left office and Bush was president, they're like, the stock market's booming.
No, remember it crashed, right?
No, it didn't crash until towards the end of his.
That was Clinton. The recession was Clinton, 2008. That was because he had done all of those hedge funds on mortgages.
And derivatives. On he started that, but yeah. Bush also continued that because that was eight years after.
Yeah, no. I mean,
like, Bush took office in 2000, have a part in and then it. 8 years later is when that huge recession hit. So both of them were at fault for that, 50-50, I would say.
At the same time, like, Bush was, it's hard because, like, I don't think his focus was on that. I think he was just letting that be what it was, and then
I think he just continued a lot of programs that were already going right. that may not
like,
be.
And I don't want to say Bush isn't the sharpest tool in the shed, but like he's like you know he's like a spreader out of the knives of culinary. He's like the spreader, you know. If you look at the Cutco site, he's like the spreader, you know,
or like the cheese knife,
Like he's got like. He has purpose.
He's good at a few things, but he's not going to be able to cut through everything.
Right. So that's the idea.
I actually hated, I absolutely hated George W. Bush when he won the first time. And the second time, I remember crying at school because I was like, how are people so dumb to vote this guy in again? I was so upset.
Because I also feel like I was manipulated as a child, though.
But I love I love John McCain. Who was running against him. So, like, it always, like, hurt my soul that they picked George Bush over John McCain. But now as an adult, I look back at George Bush and I was like, were you the best president? No. Were you as bad as I thought you were? No.
Yeah.
Like, he was not a horrible,
so, a couple things. The thing is, like, the Trump era is not all bad, really. Because, like, there are a few things that came about, right? Like, tariffs.
The tariffs, I am the pro-tariffs.
Right, yeah. So, and, you know, we were watching the impeachment trials, and one of the Republicans did say a few things that were kind of moving to me, like, well, also border control. Like, I have to say, like, our border control is pretty good right now.
Don't agree with the wall. I don't agree with all the children in cages.
Mm.
But there are certain things they put in when it comes to border control that were okay-ish.
Well, he just gave a lot of money to that. Actually, I don't even know really
about border control. I think he just brought a lot of attention to it. Yeah. So then when Biden is in office, he's going to have to make decisions on that because it's on people's minds now.
Yeah, and I do think he had a positive impact on the economy.
I think it was negative to healthcare.
Yeah.
Because I know when we look up healthcare as like a small business, like owners, it is so bad.
Yeah.
So bad.
His healthcare is just, he just didn't do what he said he was going to do. And honestly, I think that's why he was so disappointed he didn't get another term. But inciting a mob is not the way to go about
And like calling and being like, find me 11,000 votes. Like,
right. Like
those
do
not exist.
That was
they
like
cannot
very
do that.
Inappropriate. As a president to do that. And I just am kind of disappointed in him as a person a little bit.
I hate that he hired all of his family as like cabinet members and advisors and stuff. And that like,
that shouldn't even be allowed.
Shouldn't. I thought it was illegal. And like, then they let it happen. But then they found out that she's also one of the whatever board members for his business. And they're like, that is illegal.
Who?
Ivanka.
Oh, Ivanka. Yeah.
His daughter is one of the board members of his business. And they're like, or whatever it is, she's a consultant, whatever she is. They're like, it's actually illegal to have someone related to you as also, that position.
I do have to give more credit to Donald. I've been more actively like learning about politics
since he's
more
been in
now than I've ever done in my whole life. Mm-hmm. And I'm 33. So like I've become more engaged in politics than I've ever been ever. And I'm like so disgusted with where it is, you know?
Yeah.
But I also feel like there's so much more transparency after him than before. Like during the Obama era, I did not know anything and I wasn't getting
the
any
Clinton era also.
The Clinton era
like
and
really
the Bush era was also
and
that
Reagan.
Way. you know, but like, I wasn't alive really for that. So, like, I've had more transparency under him.
Yeah. Like, you're actually seeing, like, the dark underbelly of politics.
Right. And you're also seeing the dark underbelly of media, too. And, yeah. like, the corruption behind media. So, it's kind of like, that's important to me, you know? Like, the transparency of our journalism is very important to me. And the fact that there's so much cover-up and agenda-based crap within big media is, like, very disheartening.
Yeah. I feel like I definitely, since Trump became president, have been a lot more aware of what news stations I'm listening to and, like, what their bias is.
Right.
Because it's like, you watch ABC News and you know they're super Democratic.
Right.
You watch CNN and you know they lean Democratic. You watch Fox News, you know they're, like, leaning more Republican. And, like, when you go online and you're looking at websites, you are, like, aware of, like, okay, like, The Economist is, yeah. like, more center, but it's still kind slightly off.
It's still and very like, Democratic.
BBC yeah. used to be very moderate, and now it's kind of leaning more liberal just because of the past few years. I'm sure it'll go back to more of a moderate stance.
I try to stay moderate with my news because, like, I do not want my news telling me what to think. Like, I just want them to give me the information. And if it's an opinion, I'm fine with that, but you need to label it. Right? Like, this is my opinion, these are the facts, and this is why I came about that.
Well, and when
that.
They, like, pick and choose clips to show you...
That bugs
the heck out
of me. ...to fit
their, like, yeah. agenda and their narrative, and it's like...
That bugs me so
I
much.
I want to see what's going on and not just picking and choosing clips to make it look like your
right.
side is right.
Because I'm an adult. Like, I know how to critically think about things, and it's actually kind of, like, insulting to my intelligence that a news station would even do that. Right?
And I know, like, for this insurrection that was just last week, a lot of news sites were using images from events that happened years ago,
mm-hmm.
like in 2016 or 2017, and they're taking images from, like, other protests or other incidents and using them with
right.
this. And it's,
which
like,
also...
it's really confusing to see photos from 2017 when it's talking about something that happened last week. Why are you showing a photo from them? You can get a photo from this week.
Right.
But the photos from this week may not fit their narrative, so they have to pick an old photo that kind of looks like the same kind of thing going on.
Which also, Trump has also done that with
oh, yes.
Fox News.
Yeah.
For instance, the when the immigrant movement was happening, he's like, oh, these immigrants are coming in. Look what's happening in Europe. He showed a clip where there were just these crazy people, like mm-hmm. immigrants, if you will, running into Germany. And it's like... Like, just sprinting into Germany and just attacking and, like...
Yeah, like, that was...
You know?
Yeah.
So, it was just, like, not even... He just... It's, like, gets people fired up, you know? And it's, like, that's not what's happening.
Well, do you remember
like, when... that happened one time and you're taking that and applying it to every single scenario of immigration. And it's, like, that's not real. Like, that is one instance. And that instant had been taken care of. It's not transparent. It's manipulative.
Yeah.
And it's, like... Using that information to manipulate the populace into joining together and uniting under one thing to discriminate against another populace. And it wasn't even Mexico. It was
Germany.
Syrians.
Yeah, coming into Germany.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it wasn't even Mexico coming into America. It was... Not even on our, you know what I'm saying?
And the thing is, wasn't Germany technically like a safe space type thing for
that's
the
truth.
People that
yeah.
were
so
like,
they're like, oh, look at
because
Germany.
They were escaping from like an authoritarian like
right.
war.
Right.
So
it wasn't even the way that they said it. And it was kind of like not okay that that's the way that was worked. But it was also on Germany not putting boundaries and saying, hey, you got to come through this gate and be acknowledged and then written down, right? Like...
They were just
like
trying to, they were in a horrible yeah. situation and just trying to get out.
Right.
Basically.
And that happens with Turkey a lot too, mm-hmm. you know, where you have the poverty and whatnot. But that's a different problem. And there's like getting people riled up to an extent of saying, no, we're not going to help anyone else is not the right answer.
Well, do you remember when Donald Trump posted photos of his quote unquote inauguration? When he's like, look how many people came out for my inauguration. It's the biggest crowd
oh, yeah.
of all time.
He does this thing where he says, oh, turn the cameras.
No,
turn
no, no, no. So he posted all these photos and they're like, those photos are from an event from like 6 years ago.
Oh man. Yeah.
Like he was using other photos. And then when they showed the photos of his actual inauguration, there was like no one there.
Oh, God.
It was like the smallest crowd ever, but he was like, and I feel like that was foreshadowing of the way he uses social media and the way he's like, look at this. I have the biggest crowd ever. Look at this. I have so many supporters. And he like, one, convinces himself.
And I don't want to dog on Trump that much. But like, I kind of feel
he
bad.
He uses old images to convince people that that's what's happening at the moment.
It's like, okay, I feel bad, right? Because I'm human and I feel empathetic, right? And I'm like, oh, man, that and maybe sucks. But I'm also like, you know, at a certain point, as an adult, female or male, doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. It's like, you got to hold him to accountability because he's supposed to be leading us, not misleading us.
Which is why it's kind of interesting to me that Mike Pence kept saying, oh, I might do the 25th Amendment.
He didn't. He was being pressured.
I know, but he like was like, oh, like I'm not ruling it out. But it's like, I honestly feel like maybe that would have been a good call. Not right now, but like when he started talking all that fraud stuff and then being like, there is no evidence. You are out of your mind. And they should have told him at that point, like, if you keep pushing this, we're going to see you as being mentally unstable because there is no fact here. And if you are convincing yourself that this is fact, well, then that's like...
I think it's hard because I think the president has like a little birdie in his ear. Mm-hmm. You know, like I don't think he is... I think he's getting his information fed to him through somebody, right?
The thing is, I used to think Ivanka and his children, like his other children and his wife... were just like along for the ride and just like weren't super into it.
Like his daughter is like kind of telling him one thing, like you need to fight
this.
Well,
and her husband is very, like one of his cabinet members as well.
Yeah.
So it's like, I feel like they have a lot of pull. Right.
So they're always going to be on Trump's side.
And then they have the sons that have a lot of pull.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, poor Melania. Like she was just like a mail order bride.
I do not feel bad.
And then once I heard that phone call of her with her friend, like, bad mouthing like the children in the cages and how she didn't care and how like people are stupid and Christmas at the White House was stupid and like all this stuff, I was like, I have no, like for a long time I was like, sympathy, I feel bad because she like can't get out of this situation, and now I'm like, she's in that situation because
she wants to be there.
She wants to be there. She wants to be the first wife. She wants to like have that notoriety. So I just have no sympathy for that anymore. So
do you have any lighter topics? We have not much time.
We never have much time.
This is a double episode, by the way. So, because... hello.
I don't know. I feel like I don't have any more, but I am looking at our bookshelf right now, and we were talking about movie adaptions of books.
Right.
And one that I felt actually fit the book very well was To All the Boys I Loved Before, which was made by Netflix. And if you watched, what was that show? Deadly Class?
Yeah.
That Andrew was watching.
I read the comic books, yeah.
Yeah. You also watched the show.
They canceled the show, but yeah.
But one of the girls from that show played the main character in To All the Boys I Loved Before on Netflix. And they came out with the second one last Valentine's Day. And then they're coming out with the third one this Valentine's Day. They just announced it today. And I'm really excited. The first book to movie was, like, spot on. The second one, they kind of, like, strayed a little bit. But I understand why.
What's it called?
To All the Boys I Loved Before.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So it was, like, a trilogy of, like...
Yeah, sure.
Chick flicky...
Yeah, I don't know
like
anything about
teen
it. But yeah.
Stuff.
But Deadly Class, I feel like, is similar to The Boys. And I'm surprised Netflix didn't pick it up.
Actually was surprised because it was what on Sci-Fi?
Yeah.
I was surprised.
It was really well done.
It wasn't picked up by HBO Max when HBO Max came out. Because it came out at the perfect time for them to have picked up the second season.
Yeah.
And I feel like it would have done very well on there.
It would have done well on HBO Max. It would have done really well on Amazon Prime. Because it's got The Boys, so it would have been direct competition, which is good.
Because I feel like it's more adult.
Or it wouldn't have been competition, but it would have been like a compliment too.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean?
I feel like it's more adult than Disney Plus.
Yes.
Even Netflix doesn't really get into like graphic novels in that
way. Not really.
And this Hulu doesn't darker. Either.
It's a darker one, which is true to the comic book. So,
but I feel like Stars, HBO Max, Amazon, they all could have picked it up very easily. And I mean, they technically still could.
Sure.
Because sometimes they do pick up things a ways down the line, but I don't see it happening.
However, that is all the time we have for today.
But yes. This is a great wine. So if you want a good, inexpensive red wine to have dinner.
It's also exclusive.
Is it exclusive to Trader Joe's? Most of them are.
Most of them are.
So this is the Montera Merlot 2018.
Actually, I don't think this one's exclusive, but it's still a very good wine for the price.
Okay. And now next time we go to Monterey, maybe we'll stop by this winery and see
how we're doing. Check it out.
We will talk to you next week.